Any questions?
I'll just quickly jump to the bicycle project map. It's, if I just kind of toggle between these two, you'll see it's kind of built across each other. I think one of the things that's a little different with the bike project map is it recognizes that there are and will be a lot of streets in Boardman that you don't have to retrofit too significantly. If you kind of look at the Kincaid and Willow Fork Drive corridors that kind of go back into the neighborhoods, while those are some pretty wide streets, they are fairly low volume, and they're low volume enough where you don't have to build separate bike facilities or bike lanes on those streets. So a lot of the projects here in Orange are projects that would enhance the siding and striping of those roads to accommodate what we call shared travel. So there wouldn't be separate bicycle lanes. You would just, their traffic lines are low enough to where most riders, maybe not small children, but most riders, there's an expectation that those roads can be shared between vehicles and bicycles. Most of the green lines on the map and the purple lines on the map show planned bicycle lane projects where we would physically widen the road and we're striped in a separated bicycle lane of some sort or a multi-use pathway. And so those are the solid green lines and the purple magenta color lines. So that's how you would interpret and read this map.
I don't see a path of the freeway for the bicyclist.
I'm sorry, did you say you didn't see a path over the freeway?
I don't see a path over the freeway for the bicyclist.
Oh, yeah. Good question. I'm assuming you might be looking at the Olson Road connection.
I'm not. I'm looking at the entire freeway, and I don't see a path for a bicyclist to get from one side of town to the other. If you live on the south side, how do you access the marina if you want to take by bike? And I realize that there's a freeway overpass, but it's not really that safe for a bicycle. It has a high-rise sidewalk for pedestrians, but no bicycle path across the freeway.
Yeah, well, good point. I kind of see your point on that. I'm hearing you. I think there's maybe some tweaks that we can potentially do to this map. I think one of the things that's hard to recognize is we have purposefully excluded some lines on this map. Now, for example, if you look at Main Street today, Main Street has kind of a separated multi-use pathway on the west side of the corridor south of the freeway, connecting all the way down to Wilson Road. You'll see no line on this map here, and that was purposeful on our part. We did not add it in because we know at some point in the very near future, obviously, he's working on this right now, that they're going to be widening and expanding Main Street corridor. And as part of that project, that's going to include separated bike, formerly 6-foot bike lanes within the roadway net. So we didn't show that line on this map. Yeah, so that's one reason why this looks a little disjointed. And then I think as we look at the Main Street overpass, you are absolutely correct. There are no safe, I think, or accommodating bicycle lanes over that interchange, over that overpass. And that's one of those limitations that I was noting earlier that necessitated that interchange area management plan revision project is not only is that interchange inadequate for serving long-term traffic growth in Boardman, but it's also inadequate from a height perspective. It doesn't have the right height limitations for freight traffic going under along I-84, and it doesn't have modern bicycle and pedestrian accommodations. So whatever the product is of that future IAMP and the revisit of the Main Street overpass, I think it's it's reasonable for us to expect that product is going to include some pretty significant upgrades for biking and pedestrian accommodations to better connect the north and the south side of I-84. I do also point out that the Olson Road extension is a project included in the CSD, but because it's a roadway project, we did not show a project making that connection after the assumption that if and when that connection were ever made, but also after they approved bicycle. So I can understand why at first glance this map might show, may not look like it's providing enhanced connections. But in reality, there are a handful in here, but it's not obvious to the But in recognition of that comment, I think it might be beneficial for us to maybe add some notations to this map of that nature, so that it does not carry forward and make it more confusing. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I do see your comment. I do see your point, and I think there's something we can do with this map to better address that.
So Matt, are you suggesting that there will be some kind of a bike path also going across the freeway?
I think it's if you look at, are you talking about Main Street?
No, I said Olson. You said Olson, so I'm just getting clarification.
I think, Olson's I probably put Olson in the aspirational project list. I think the reality of an Olson connection across the freeway is an underpass, not an overpass, just based on the grades and the impacts to adjacent parcels. Now, if you were able to make an underpass underneath I-84, yes, any kind of connection along those lines, the expectation would be that underpass would include sidewalks and bicycle lanes. So project D10 on this map here is a project that would add bicycle accommodations to Olson Road, at least the existing building portion of Olson Road. And then those connections, if and when a connection underneath I-84 is ever established, that connection would continue with the roadway connection. So.
Has any thought been given to taking one of the first streets and doing some kind of a walking, biking path, overpass that would be not for motorized vehicles, but something that would be considerably less expensive? And maybe Devin's the person to answer if that's even allowed. I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, that came up in a couple of conversations. I think it's hard to see with this map because the Amazon data center takes up most of this land for years. You don't really have the ability to make that connection. So if you are ever able to make an interim connection across I-84, you have wetlands over here. And so your only way to maybe span that connection is over the freeway ramp terminals. And that gets a little bit more challenging. It's kind of hard to visualize, but your span and your connections over the freeway terminals gets a little more complicated, and the elevation of that span gets higher because of the elevated nature of those on and off ramps. And so it's not impossible. It just becomes one of those probably harder to visualize in this Fire 2 project. But that is maybe one addition we can go back and reconsider.
And Matt, this is Brandon. Have you, I don't see any marks and I didn't pay attention on the walking to the marina. So there's no walking path right now currently to get over. So I see that over the bridge. No? Yep, right there. And then there's no walking path really to the west from there along the road.
Are you talking about this section of Columbia?
No, not on Columbia. The one, what's the road that's
Marine
on?
Drive.
Marine Drive. So you go, from Columbia, over and then to the west there. Yep, on Marine Drive, there's no path. So we would need to do it.
Yeah, great question. I think this is one of those areas where the planning process can only take you so far. So a lot of that section of Marine Drive is not owned by the city. It's actually a private road owned by the Army Corps of Engineers. And while they do have some pathways and some other kind of go trail connections through there, we're not planning for roads that the city has no control over. So. It's not to say that we couldn't, if the desire is to extend some lines on those maps to recognize that potential, then it's not a deal dealer to add them. If you think they're appropriate to add them, you certainly can. It's just It's not a road that the city has any authority over or control over, and so we'd be at the mercy of Army Corps of Engineers and the call establishment and realize a public problem.
On any of that, have you guys thought about connecting the Oregon Trail bike path to Blaylock and Kincaid and Willow Fork and Kincaid?
Let me see, Carla, or someone, can you help me out? I'm trying to visualize what I just heard.
Restate your question.
So Willow Fork goes all the way through. Would that not be a possibility to make a bike path on that end? Knowing that there's a lot of people that would probably ride the bike and not want to take Kincaid and could possibly take Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
So the road standard for Oregon Trail will have a bike lane as part of it. The road standard for Willow Fork, we're just kind of finalizing those. The packet just went out today. I'm trying to remember how that one got amended.
It's a neighborhood collector, so it would have a shared bike.
It would have a shared bicycle pedestrian.
That you could get out through Lawrence, remember, right? Where Lawrence House is out, and that's where you get.
And then there's another open access on Blaylock. That doesn't show on there.
So, right, again, we didn't identify, and so this map is identifying primary kind of routes. We didn't get into, there needs to be, I mean, yes, we need to address bicycle and pedestrian everywhere. This map really focuses on the highest intensity locations?
Yeah, and I think it's high intensity because they can't take those back roads. I think that if they could, they would.
So you're saying that the connections are not adequate to facilitate those. So yes, at the point in time Oregon Trail gets built further and further to the west, those connections to Oregon Trail will also be created. So where Willow Fork just kind of ends nowhere,
yeah,
it's designed to end at where Oregon Trail will eventually intersect.
Okay.
Yeah. So we may have a battery problem and we don't have another port to plug in. So Matt, I'm just going to push a little bit. We're down to 5%. We're trying to figure out how we might be able to shift a little bit here and figure this out.
Lightning round, okay. Lightning round. I think I'm more or less, I've got some extra maps in here. I'm going to just pause on these. I'll give Shane a minute or less to maybe get through some of the things that she's been working on really to develop the code and implement it. So take it away. I'll advance the slides.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Shane. I can explain our company acronym later. but basically, we were brought on, as Matt said, to draft development code to implement this TSP. I would say, again, purpose statements here, we were looking to align with state's transportation planning rule, or the TPR, but most importantly, implement the updated TSP. We'll just move on to the next slide. A few themes that I can actually speak to on the following slide, in evaluating the city's existing development code and what would be needed. And I will say very plainly that, in a way, not much is needed. But what we did find and what we did propose is in your packet for tonight, it's called the Draft Implementing Ordinances Memo. And there is draft code language in there and attachment A. So kind of in these three theme areas, I'd say that we found for TSP.
Okay. Well.
Okay. Going in supportive development, minor changes are proposed to existing pedestrian access and circulation standards. It's also proposed that transit ride-share uses be permitted in parking lots, along with those parking lots and still provide minimum parking. And that coordination of transit stop improvements with transit service providers, that can be required
not fully connected. Can you hear me?
Okay.
We can.
Okay, I don't know what you last heard. Can you tell me what you last heard, Carla?
Most of it.
I think we heard most of it, so.
Okay.
Probably like five words.
Excuse me for going so fast. I don't know if this is going to make any sense. But as far as the three themes, the third theme would be transportation facility permitting, where changes we're proposing clarify when transportation facility permitting should be combined with other permitting, as well as when permitting is not required for transportation facilities. So that was maybe just a little fast, but point being, again, the memo itself and the proposed code language date is in that packet that you got tonight, so that after any comments from this group tonight, or I would imagine we'll allow you some time after tonight to comment, MIG, the company I'm with, and the project management team together will update the proposed code language that's in the packet now to be what we'll call an adoption version of the code updates, and that'll go into the public hearing process alongside the updated TSP itself. And then following the hearings, MIG will be there to prepare a final version of the code updates. So there you go. Are there any questions or comments? That was pretty fast.
I think what I would add is that the memorandum that was provided for this evening that drafted for us, as old as both the development code and the TSP is, I was surprised at how much of our code is still okay. So there's clearly some things that have happened over the last several years that have changed some of those development code implementation requirements under the transportation planning rule. But I was actually surprised that Shana didn't say, like, just start all over, because our code is so old and so out of date. So as much as there are changes, they are not as significant as I thought they would be. And so in some respects, it's almost like a refinement to the code. But there will be some changes.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Carla. Good bones there, even if you have an older code, like, there's a very good framework and bones there. So yeah, we definitely call these refinements. And even, you know, just kind of some, in some cases, procedural and somewhat technical tweaks. But yeah, a really good framework to have worked off of.
Great, thanks, Shana. Carla, we're just about done here. I'll hit the adoption schedule slide and say a few closing words, and I think that concludes what I have to say this evening. So.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess one thing to point out, I said at the very beginning, there's a deadline that we're working under. The PGM grant that's supporting this update runs out in, I believe it's December 18th. So we are planning, we will, all intents and purposes, meet that deadline. But there are some steps that need to occur along the way in order for us to do that. The first of which is your comments here this evening. We've taken notes. If there are anything else that comes to mind that you have not shared back to Carla and her staff, please do. And please submit those comments ASAP. Carla, so she can pass them on to us. We heard a few things here this evening that we might want to tweak in some of these maps, and you've raised some nice comments, and we'll revisit those and adjust the maps and the tables if necessary. But if we need those comments back from ASAP, because we're working towards the completion of an adoption level draft that we need to submit to DLCD on or before September 16th. That begins what we call our 35-day review window, and we can't have an evidentiary hearing before the Board of Planning Commission until the earliest date would be our next hearing on October 22nd. And assuming we get through Planning Commission, they recommend it be advanced to the Board of City Council. We've got two potential hearing dates, one in November on November 3rd, and if needed, a second date December 2nd. And if we're successful at city council and they adopt the TSD, we'll have just what is essentially less than 2 weeks to get it all wrapped up, buttoned up, and submitted before the deadline on the 18th. So there's certainly a ticking clock. It's manageable, but it's based on getting some good feedback and comments from you all here. And so I appreciate your willingness to sit through this presentation. You'll hear it again, unfortunately, at your respective planning commission and city council hearings. But hopefully we've addressed most of the questions so that when you sit down in those hearings, some of the things you were concerned with this evening, maybe the answers that we provided are built in no longer having a concern, and we can get through those hearings a little easier. So at that point, we'll have more of a focus on getting the feedback from the public and your constituents to show up to hear about the draft of the TSD. So that is the kind of the steps and the plan going forward, and that concludes my slides. Carl, I'll take it back to you.
Thanks. Mayor, I'll turn it back to you for public comment.
Yes. All right, so this is time for invitation for public comment. Anyone interested in the audience, both online and in public, are invited to provide comments. Anyone may speak on the draft transportation system plan. You have 5 minutes. I'm bumping up 5 minutes per person for a total of 30 minutes. If you have filled out a comment card, go ahead and bring it up front. And anyone who wishes to do public comment, I haven't got any invitations, so anybody wish to do?
I have a comment.
Mr. Tallman, you have the floor. Go right up to the podium.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
All right, my name is Jonathan Tallman. I'm the landowner here right off the exit 165 Port of Morrow. Most of you people know me. I can't name you on a personal basis. But again, I submitted something over an email to the city. I would like that to be, he mentioned that those comments, that they was taking comments, I'd like that to be added to the comments. I won't go into all the specifics there, but I really welcome the planning that we got. There's a couple things that I would like to add, you know, as far as how some of this stuff is getting paid for. I wish we would have got into that. There are some ideas to get it paid for. I would like to note that the Oregon Trail from Fahler Road to basically to Laurel Lane, that's basically a transmission lines corridor. And based off what I have seen, you know, with Amazon paying $41.5 million for a power line, I believe that they're also going to pay for the power line from where they're at Amazon, the 230 kilovolt line out to Fahler Road to get out to the Boardman, the loves out there. I mean, those are things that we need to make sure that we put in there that they are paying for it, because they're driving this growth. I mean, Oregon's budget was $21 million in 2019, and now it's $91 million. So, and a lot of that has to do from the Umatilla Electric fees and the permit fees that is driving that. But we need to make sure that those who trigger that growth pay for that growth, and that we talk about those things. As uncomfortable as they may be, we have to talk about who is really driving it and who should have to pay for it. Not on a taxpayer bond, not on an extra tax. We're taxed enough already. We have to have those uncomfortable conversations, and I really feel like it's sad, because that's when we have issues within the county. It's about money, and we do have enough, and we just need to make sure that we are getting our fair share, especially when they use 90% to 95% of the resources. I'm going to do a presentation about the city water usage that is going to be very good. I hope it makes it adequate as far as how much is being used and how much we're comparing to other places that are taking from the aquifer, and how lucky we are to live right here on the Columbia River to take the water that we can from the river and off an aquifer. So we are in a very great position. We just need to make sure that we're taking advantage of it, and then being honest and transparent with accountability about who's really paying for it. So I really appreciate you guys listening, and I would love to go through and implement this. And let's work with people that we don't like. Let's work with people that that are a little frictiony, and let's get some things done so that the whole county, as well as the board, succeeds. Thank you very much.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
So your comments that you just did there, are they in the written?
I wrote it.
You sent to Carla.
I'm glad you asked about it, Karen. Thank you for asking about it. I don't know. I feel like I'm really
glossed over. You wrote this and sent it to her.
Yes.
So is the comments that you just made publicly in here, so that I can go home and think about what you just now said?
Yes.
Since I can read what you said in her letter.
Yes. Well, and he asked. He said if there's any more comments, to go ahead and add that to it.
Okay.
So. Yes, thank you for asking that, Karen. I really do appreciate it because it's about the betterment of Boardman and the county.
Okay, because I can listen to the tape of this then.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to note, you and Richard, I have a little comment section on the video. If you can click on that link about you guys talking making Boardman a 2X account. I'm all for that. Like, let's make it happen. And I want you to know I was cheering for that when I heard that on video as well, too. Because it does put Boardman at ease and make Boardman more like what he said, a grid operation for the continuity of Boardman.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other public comments? How about online? Do we have any public comments online? I don't see any, do you?
The only member of the public is the Morrill County Observer.
Okay. All righty. So having gone through our agenda and the public comment, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.